The person to whom Warden Hand telephoned was Logan Sanford. Sanford listened, hung up, issued several orders, then placed a call of his own to Alvin Dewey. That evening, when Dewey left his office in the courthouse at Garden City, he took home with him a manila envelope. When Dewey got home, Marie was in the kitchen preparing supper. The moment he appeared, she launched into an account of household upsets. The family cat had attacked the cocker spaniel that lived across the street, and now it seemed as if one of the spaniel's eyes might be seriously damaged. And Paul, their 9-year-old, had fallen out of a tree. It was a wonder he was alive. And then their 12-year-old, Dewey's namesake, had gone into the yard to burn rubbish and started a blaze that had threatened the neighborhood. Someone, she didn't know who, had actually called the fire department. While his wife described these unhappy episodes, Dewey poured 2 cups of coffee. Suddenly, Marie stopped in the middle of a sentence and stared at him. His face was flushed, and she could tell that he was elated. She said, "Alvin, oh, honey, is it good news?" Without comment, he gave her the manila envelope. Her hands were wet. She dried them, sat down at the kitchen table, sipped her coffee, opened the envelope, and took out photographs of a blonde young man and a dark-haired, dark-skinned young man. Police-made mugshots. A pair of semi-coated dossiers accompanied the photographs. The one for the fair-headed man read, "Hickok, Richard Eugene, white male, 28, KBI 97093, FBI 859273A. Address, Edgerton, Kansas. Birthdate, 6/6/31. Birthplace, KC, Kansas. Height, 5'10". Weight, 175. Hair, blonde. Eyes, blue. Build, stout. Complexion, ruddy. Occupation, car painter. Crime, cheat and defraud and bad checks. Paroled, 8/13/59, by South KCK. The second description read, "Smith, Perry Edward, white male, 27-59. Birthplace, Nevada. Height, 5'4". Weight, 156. Hair, dark brown. Crime, B&E. Arrested, blank. By, blank. Disposition. Sent KSP 3/13/56 from Phillips County, 5 to 10 years. Received 3/14/56. Paroled 7/6/59. Marie examined the front view and profile photographs of Smith. An arrogant face. Tough, yet not entirely, for there was about it a peculiar refinement. The lips and nose seemed nicely made, and she thought the eyes, with their moist, dreamy expression, rather pretty. Rather, in an actorish way, sensitive. Sensitive, and something more. Mean. Though not as mean, as forbiddingly criminal as the eyes of Hickok, Richard Eugene. Marie, transfixed by Hickok's eyes, was reminded of a childhood incident, of a bobcat she'd once seen caught in a trap, and of how, though she'd wanted to release it, the cat's eyes, radiant with pain and hatred, had drained her of pity and filled her with terror. "Who are they?" Marie asked. Dewey told her Floyd Wells' story, and at the end he said, "Funny. The past 3 weeks, that's the angle we've concentrated on. Tracking down every man who ever worked on the clutter place. Now, the way it's turned out, it just seems like a piece of luck. But a few days more and we would have hit this Wells. Found he was in prison. We would have got the truth then. Hell yes."
"Maybe it isn't the truth," Marie said.
Dewey and the 18 men assisting him had pursued hundreds of leads to barren destinations, and she hoped to warn him against another disappointment, for she was worried about his health. His state of mind was bad.
He was emaciated, and he was smoking 60 cigarettes a day.
No, maybe not, Dewey said, but I have a hunch.
His tone impressed her. She looked again at the faces on the kitchen table. Think of him, she said, placing a finger against the front view portrait of the blonde young man. Think of those eyes, coming toward you.
Then she pushed the pictures back into their envelope.
I wish you hadn't shown me,